Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
It's time for TWiT's annual audience survey, and we want to hear from you. Please visit twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. It only takes a few minutes, and your anonymous feedback will help us make TWiT even better. We thank you so much for your continued support. twit.tv/survey.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the easiest way to create a beautiful website, blog, or online store for you and your ideas. Go to squarespace.com and enter offer code ABOUTANDROID at checkout to get 10% off. And by LegalZoom. It's National Start Your Business Month at LegalZoom and the best time to create the business you've always dreamed of. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but they can connect you with an independent attorney. Visit LegalZoom.com and use offer code AAA in the referral box to save even more. And by HipChat, collaborate, save time, and be more productive with your teams. HipChat is IM, video chat, plus file, code, and screen sharing all in one place. Invite your team members and get a free 30-day trial of the full version of HipChat at HipChat.com/AllAboutAndroid. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of All About Android, episode 207, recorded on Tuesday, March 31st, or in some places in the world, April 1st, April Fool's Day, 2015. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
How's it going, sir?
It's all right. I'm tired.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry I can't be there in studio this week, but I'll be there back next week, and I will be clean-shaven with my Harry's razor.
Oh, okay. So, all right. Good. Yeah, good to know. I wonder if they're a sponsor next week. I guess we'll find out, but regardless, good to know, because I don't know if I can have that scruffy face sitting next to me in real life.
It's a tired, lazy beard, but it'll be gone. It'll be gone soon.
That's okay. Well, it's good to have you on. I'm surrounded by TV monitors today. It's the the power of the television surrounds me. Super stoked to welcome back two awesome people. First up, Chris Lacey, developer of such apps as Action Launcher, Link Bubble, all sorts of awesome stuff on the internet. How you doing, sir?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. Been meaning to have you back, and you've been doing some awesome stuff, which I'm sure we'll talk about here in a little bit. Updates to Action Launcher and all that kind of stuff, but you've been busy.
I have. That's why I've gone a beard myself.
Okay, this is the site. I've been busy, but I can't grow a beard. So even when I'm busy, I don't know what that means. I wish that I could, so I had like... It's like a sign to people of how busy you are, apparently. I can't wear that sign on my face. Good to have Florence Ion, staff writer at Greenbot, back. How are you doing?
I have also been busy, but I also cannot grow a beard.
I know. I think for you and I, we're going to have to get like one of those fake like tape-on beard things. Wouldn't be weird
at
all.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Okay. I'll send you one, you know, when I get around to ordering a couple. Good to have you back, Florence. It's great to have you back. And you have in your possession... a couple of devices, from what I understand, that are, the Samsung Galaxy S6.
Just the Galaxy S6 Edge. Actually, I'm going to take off this case. Sorry. The other guy is benchmarking, or I'm sorry, he is being charged right now for another battery test. So, yeah.
I won't fail that guy for wanting to be charged fully. That's a nice looking
phone. He needs a break,
too.
I've been using him a lot, so I kind of wanted to give a little... little spotlight to the Edge.
So, I mean, we're going to get into kind of a hardware review because you've spent, a week with both of those devices?
Oh,
is that right?
Yes, I have. I don't want to let him go either. I love him so much.
Oh, that's a good teaser. Yeah, that was going to be my, right off the top tease, good or bad. If you had to choose between the two, do you heavily side with one versus the other at this point?
Yes, I like the flat one.
Oh, really?
I call them the flat and the Edge.
Uh-huh.
But the Edge has been growing on me quite a bit.
Interesting. So. All right, cool. I can't wait to talk all about that, obviously in the hardware section. We also have a bunch of news to talk about. Google is opening the floodgates of Android apps on Chrome OS. We have a bunch of interesting Google app updates, actually, this week. I already talked about the hands-on with the hottest devices kind of in the news right now, and a whole lot more. But hey, let's talk about some of the news in news. And Brian, what you got?
What's mean green and coming to a stream near you? It's Android News.
Okay. What the mean green and...
coming to a stream. You kind of threw me off at the toss at the beginning.
Yeah, sorry. I stepped on you. I'm sorry.
Jeez.
I didn't mean to do that.
That's what I had to work with.
Yeah, that's how it goes. Okay, so I kind of wanted to not talk about April Fools because... for some reason, I'm an April Fool's grouch, I think, maybe.
I was every year, I feel like we wrestle with this, whether we're going to cover the April Fool's stuff or not. And
but, you know,
and it seems like April Fool's comes earlier and earlier every year.
But see, Ron, April Fool's.
For us in Australia.
Exactly.
So we get it today and we get all yours tomorrow. So it's double the fun.
Yes. And Google, of course, is a company that understands this. So today here in the U.S., it's the day before April Fool's. And, you know, all of Google's cards are on the table at this point. And I would, you know, initially, I think I wasn't going to put any of the April Fool's stuff into the doc. But you have to admit, this one's kind of cool.
Google. Well, I like Google's approach has been to less about to fool you and more just like to take it as an opportunity to do a cool, fun thing. Like last year, if you remember, then they did something with Google Maps where you could collect Pokemon on the maps. Was that last year or 2 years ago?
That was last year.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And this year, as you're about to tell us, it's similarly cool.
Yes. So, okay. So let's see here. So... I think the one that seems to be grabbing everybody's attention is this Pac-Man mashup with maps. Now, you can get it through your desktop if you go to maps.google.com, and you can pretty much turn any map into a Pac-Man video game. On the Maps app, I just pulled up one of the destinations, Arc de Triomphe. I'm assuming that's how you pronounce that. So you go there. So we'll go there. Then you see this little icon here, a little Pac-Man icon. Go ahead and bring it up, and suddenly it turns into a Pac-Man video game, and it's playable. And I don't, you know, it's kind of weird, obviously, but neat, nifty nonetheless, and the fact that you can just kind of turn certain maps inside. Wow, that's loud.
They give you a lot of lives, too.
Yeah, they do.
You only get like three in the regular Pac-Man game or something.
Yeah,
well, it's also really interesting. I was playing this in the map of San Francisco, actually in my neighborhood, because who doesn't want to play Pac-Man in their neighborhood?
Yeah.
And it made me realize very quickly why the designers of Pac-Man designed everything with straight horizontal and vertical lines.
Yeah.
Because it is very hard to navigate Pac-Man on an angle.
It really is. Yeah. Half the time, I'm just like moving my finger randomly when I want to go in any direction because I don't actually know, like... do I move that way when I want to go up that path, or do I move up, you know, and turn left or right? So I don't know.
Yep.
Cool, nonetheless. I mean, you have to give them credit. There you go. This is Pac-Man in maps. Is this San Francisco? Is this? Oh, this is Petaluma. Okay, I was going to say, is that Richmond or Sunset?
That's very gritty. But even then, it's on that angle. It's tough. Yeah, but still.
But seriously, I mean, just think about it. If you wanted Pac-Man with unlimited layouts, here you go. Unlimited game boards. Boom.
Cool.
Now, on the other side of this, Amazon unveiled its Dash button. It's a single-purpose hardware button that syncs with the Amazon App Store on your phone. You mount it somewhere obvious, then you push the button when that single item is running low, and boom, your order's placed after you confirm it on your phone. I thought for sure this was an April Fool's thing. Everybody's confirming that it's actually real.
No.
Yes, this is a real thing.
No.
All sorts of reporters have checked in to confirm. Either that or Amazon is really going out of their way to like... lie to everyone when everybody's being like, seriously, come on. But yes,
I wouldn't put it past them though.
I suppose it's possible.
All the time.
It's possible. I don't know, Chris. You getting one of these if it's real?
Well, I definitely won't because Amazon is unfortunately it's a shell of itself in Australia.
Okay.
It's very like last time I checked, I couldn't even order headphones on amazon.com.au. It's we've just so far behind in that regard. So, yeah. Plus, I mean, how does this scale? Are you going to have a dash for every item in your house? Like, it seems.
Yeah, and is it only with brands that work with Amazon that sign up? I mean, because that's like the pretty integrated branding there to get a Tide button and a Maxwell House button and that sort of thing. Like, what if I like a different brand?
You know? Yeah. So. What? Yeah. Wonder. Okay. If this is real, I wonder if what they basically do is they send you the thing with the sticker. You know what I mean? Then they're not placing all these stickers on their end to skin the thing. I don't know. It just seems weird to, like, put this big hardware button on my coffee maker for that one single time in 2 months where my coffee runs out and I have to order more. I don't know. It just seems weird to me. But I suppose it makes sense. It certainly falls in line with what Amazon wants, which is for you to have no friction in buying the items through them so you don't have to think about, you know, going to the store and doing it. You get it through them.
Yeah. That's crazy. Probably should also mention that back on the Pac-Man that they also put it into Ingress.
Oh, yes. I forgot. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So.
That's pretty cool.
So we'll see. We'll see what more comes out tomorrow as it fully becomes April Fool's, full-on April Fool's. But Google's not fooling around when it comes to Chromebooks.
Oh, I see what you did there. I see what you did there.
That was good. Classic segue. But today, Google made a bunch of announcements that might seem like April Fool's jokes, but they're not. They unveiled a new lineup of lower-cost Chromebooks, including one called the Asus Chromebook Flip. That's an all-metal chassis, a touchscreen, and has a hinge that allows it to flip backwards, similar to the Windows-based Yoga laptops. And that's going to cost you around $250. But on top of that...
That's a good price for something like that, I think.
Yeah, it is.
That's a great price for that. But but the next thing is even cooler, and I thought this was an April Fool's joke. They announced the Chromebit, which for less than $100 is a Chromecast-like dongle that can turn any monitor with an HDMI port into a Chrome OS computer.
So cute. I just want to pet it.
So there you can see the photos of it. It comes in different colors and it's got a 90-degree hinge on the HDMI port. And it's running an ARM-based ROC chip with 2 gig of RAM and 16 gig of storage, plus Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and one external USB 2.0 port that can be used for a keyboard or a monitor or a hub or whatnot. You can use a Bluetooth mouse or a Bluetooth keyboard. However you want to connect it, but you just plug the Chromebit into your TV, get a Bluetooth mouse and keyboard, and you're running a Chrome computer. It's crazy for less than $100.
That's crazy. Nice. You know what that reminded me of? This. So, and I can show it on the product cam. There's not a whole lot to look at. This is the Keepod or Keepod. They pronounce it Keepod in their marketing stuff. So,
Keepod
for whatever that's worth. This is a USB stick that's $7. And it turns any low-power Windows-like laptop computer into an Android computer. So you can basically repurpose old hardware and keep your computing environment in this, similar to what they're talking about here. And I played around with this for a little bit. And, you know, Android's always weird in like a desktop laptop environment to me. I'm not entirely sold on it in that format the way it is right now. But still, very interesting and very similar to what this Chrome stick, what is it called again?
Chromebit.
The Chromebit is all about, right? Is that you can keep your entire kind of computer environment stored on this USB stick and bring it with you. And, hey, there's a computer over there. Boom, you plug it in. It's as if, traveled with you.
Yeah, you think about the applications. You go on a road trip and you're staying in a hotel. You don't need to bring a laptop or anything. You just bring the Chromebit, plug it into the hotel TV via HDMI, and boom, you're running. It's like as long as you bring the keyboard and mouse with you, which I guess is kind of annoying, but you can get one of those slim, compact ones and whatnot. They've got all little neat little dongles and things like that. But this is all Chrome OS based. And so you might wonder what that has to do with Android, as we're all about Android. Well, Google teased it at Google I.O. last year, and now, yes, finally, all Android developers can officially port their apps to the app runtime for Chrome, also known as Arc. Up until now, a small select group of developers have been able to give them the keys to do so, but now everybody can. So basically, if you've got an Android app, you can now port it to Chrome OS. The bridge between the two is starting to get built.
Uh-huh.
And the Chrome team has launched a little developer section about getting started with Arc for aspiring developers. And I'm curious to see what comes out of this. I mean, Chris, you're a developer. Is this something that you would jump all over and start porting your apps over to Chrome OS?
Normally, yes. But my apps are unique in that, like if I did you know, a podcasting app or something, then sure, I'd be there in a heartbeat. But like when I think about, you know, certainly my more popular apps like LinkBubble and Action Launcher, I don't see how either would particularly work on offhand. I can't see how they would work on Chrome OS.
Because they'd be almost be working in their own environment as opposed to if you could bring that functionality, you know, integrate Action Launcher as the launcher for Chrome OS or LinkBubble as the kind of load in the background, you know, method for loading links on Chrome OS, then it would be one thing. But I would envision that, yeah, it would just be pulling it up in its own window and that would be
different. I mean, it's going to be a windowed app, right? So I don't see either of them working particularly well. Maybe Tweetlines, it might be fun to dig that out and port that just as an exercise in seeing what's involved. That would be the more likely candidate. So I think I'm unique in that regard that it's probably not for me, but it could be good for an awful lot of apps that are out there.
What is your sense as a developer as far as opportunity for something like this? Is this something that developers should be excited to do, or do you think this is kind of like one of those neat, you know, things like, yeah, it's neat that you can do it, but not many people are reaping the benefits from it?
I guess it's hard to say without knowing whether, like, is the Play Store integrated? Like, can you do an in-app purchase or something like that?
That's a really good question. I don't know about that. I don't know about that aspect.
And I think it largely comes down to, you know, how big the market of Chromecast users are and what that market is. My understanding is a lot of it is, you know, education and that sort of stuff, which is a really smart market for Google to go after. And that would help with some apps, certainly, but not necessarily all. It's not going to bring another billion Android users to the table or anything I would imagine.
Yeah,
but it's certainly cool. I'm you know, bridging the gap between Android and Chrome, and I'm excited to see them release it. So, I'm looking forward to finding out a bit more about it.
Man, you have to imagine, this is a really good point you bring up as far as like in-app purchases and, you know, monetizing within the app, because that's such a big part of how people are making money with their apps these days. So you have to imagine if that's not possible through the Arc framework right now, Google's certainly thinking about how to make that possible. Otherwise, they're breaking a huge chunk of money-making opportunity for themselves and for developers.
It's possible they see it more just for apps that are predominantly services.
Yeah,
You know, which is what the vast, I guess you could say all of their apps really are. And Evernote was one of the launch partners. It makes perfect sense for that and that sort of thing. But whether, you know, apps like mine where, you know, you buy it and whether that makes as much sense there, I'm not sure at this point.
Sure. Cool. And kind of, well, unrelated, but related in a developer sense, Google is actually also trying to bring developers the opportunity to make more money through ads on Android. There's a new option allowing developers to easily roll their ads into the Google Display Network. That network of sites, you know, includes Google Finance, Gmail, YouTube, and pretty much all the sites showing AdWords ads. It extends not only inside other apps, but also into mobile web pages. So that's around 2 million publisher sites as a result. One developer, Gree International, was an early tester and saw an 81% increase in app installs as a result of their app hitting the mobile GDN. The average increase was much lower. It was 28%, but still a large jump they're basically, a lot of these include like full screen ads where, you know, it plays back video and you have the ability to instantly tap right into the Play Store and install the app and everything. And I'm sure we've seen some of these. I know I've seen some of these large screen takeover, you know, ads for installing apps. Does something like this make ad supported apps a more appealing route, would you say? Or do you think paid access is the best way to go for developers wanting to kind of get the best bang for their buck?
I think it depends certainly a large part on what the app is. In my case, I don't
I haven't pursued ads, I don't think, at all. I might do some in the free version of Action Launcher or something going forward. But for me, it just makes more sense to focus on, especially because I'm one person. I just focus on making the best app I possibly can. And, you know, if I spend time monitoring ad campaigns and all that sort of stuff, that's time I'm not making the app better. Mm-hmm. And I feel, you know, strongly that if I make the app better, then that's when, you know, that will bring about a revenue bump. So that's where I sort of focus a lot of my time. That said, I mean, you look at Facebook's built a, you know, multi-billion dollar business on app install ads, and Twitter are rolling out the same. Like, it's a massive business. And I'm interested to see how Google do that, because I don't know if I'd say they really have a place where it would feel as natural in their suite of apps. I mean, Facebook is used, you know, by hundreds of millions of people daily. And they've shown they can endure one of those ads. I don't know whether you'd want that if you loaded Google Maps or Gmail. It's going to be interesting, you know, how it's successful and how Google goes about using it themselves, I think.
Sure. Well, cool stuff. Obviously, Google continues to kind of focus on tightening their ship, but also giving developers, you know, better access to tools, better access to analytics. We're seeing, you know, there was a more Google, was it Play Games, analytics and tools for tracking and increasing, you know, kind of user engagement inside the apps, and you know, hopefully that translates to more money. So Google's really paying attention to this. I think Google right now really wants to make sure that developers feel like there's an opportunity to make a living off of developing for Android, which is something that I think, in comparison to some of the stories you hear about iOS, you know, that kind of puts Google in the crosshairs there a little bit to kind of step it up. So I think it's all positive. Positive direction, anyways. Ron, we have an email.
We do have an email. Jonathan writes in and says, "Hey, AAA team, big fan of Android and all about Android. I work for a forestry company, and we use Android smartphones for all of our GPS surveying and data recording in the forest. I'm our in-house mobile device tech, and I like to host some phone training sessions for our employees. I like to mirror my phone on a computer to project on the wall so everyone can follow along. How can I mirror my phone screen to a computer? We use exclusively unrooted Samsung devices, S3, S4, S5, and Note 3s, as they have the best selection of waterproof cases. Thanks, Jonathan." Well, first, I read this and I immediately thought Chromecast.
Yeah.
That is the best solution. Chromecast recently, it was a couple of months ago, right, launched a new function where you can cast your phone screen to a TV monitor with a Chromecast dongle. Each Chromecast dongle costs $35. So if you can pick up one of those, plug it in, and you can project it onto a screen. It is supported on the Note 3, the S5, and the S4, but not supported on the S3. But if you're doing demos, you just put it on one of the, you know, put it on the S5 and you're fine. So that would be my recommendation. I don't know if anybody knows of any other cool ways to send your screens, phone screen to a TV or not. But,
you know, about those devices specifically, I didn't look up, you know, whether they support like Miracast or you can do HDMI out in a number of different ways. So there are ways, you know, the B-roll that I record, for example, for Android App Arena, you know, is just done coming out of my Nexus 5 with a slim port adapter and into an HDMI port. I actually have to plug it into something else to strip something away from it in order for it to appear. So it's not the easiest thing in the world. Chromecast is probably a little bit easier, but it just really depends on whether the device works for it. When Chromecast initially rolled out this, and by the way, they still consider it beta, it was just to Nexus devices, and now they've opened it up to a lot more devices. But like you said, the S3 can't do it. So it's not a foolproof, you know, solution, but it's something. Is there anything else that I'm missing? Like, do you guys know of an easy way to kind of send video out in that regard?
Chromecast, yeah. Definitely, all the way.
Yeah,
best thing.
Might
Chromecast. As well get one anyway if you're in the Android ecosystem. Gotta
yeah,
have them.
Yeah, totally.
Those.
And you know,
if you buy it at Costco, sometimes they have like deals with extras and stuff.
Oh, really? Like package mm-hmm. deals, get three Chromecasts?
Well, yeah, I bought two Chromecasts for Christmas and I got like $10 or $25 Google Play credit with each.
Oh, that was pretty awesome.
Nice.
And we continue to get these, by the way. You should actually log into, what is it, your offers page. I think you have to be on the same Wi-Fi network and check it regularly, because like there's one going right now where you can get a free video rental through Play Store. Not too long ago, they gave you, I think, they give you movies from time to time. I got X-Men. I got a few other movies. Chromecast.com/offers. Thank you, Wade County in chat. That's where you go on the same Wi-Fi network as your Chromecast, and it'll give you a bunch of offers, and they're usually pretty good. So it's like over time it pays for itself anyway. So you might as well get those Chromecasts and let them pay for themselves. And it's just really easy from a per device basis, because Android just in itself has that cast capability built in. So it's not like you need a separate app. If it's on the network and you're connected to it and you have an Android device, it's going to recognize it.
It's great for the guest room too. Yeah. I have one in my guest room.
Totally. Good stuff there. Okay, let's take a quick break and thank one of our sponsors of today's episode, and definitely one of my favorite services because I've been using them for years, Squarespace.com. Squarespace makes it easy for you to create a professional website, blog, online store. Features an elegant interface, beautiful templates, and incredible 24/7 customer support access. Like I said, I've been using Squarespace for years now. YellowGoldMusic.com is on Squarespace. JasonHowell.net is on Squarespace. Ron, I know you have a Squarespace site. We've all used Squarespace at one point or another here probably. And that's just because it's super easy. It's simple. It's powerful and beautiful. And the templates are just amazing. They keep adding new templates. They're just super, you can use them straight out of the box, or you can load up a template like what you see, but think this needs to be tweaked a little bit. So you can go and dial in and really tweak the CSS and just kind of get, you know, go crazy with what you see there. It depends on, you know, whether you're a novice or you're advanced. You can really scale your use of their site and do some really cool things. Squarespace starts at just $8 a month. They take care of hosting, so you don't have to. Plus, you get a free domain name if you buy Squarespace for a year. All Squarespace websites are responsive. They scale to look great on any device, and you can test it out for yourself. Load up a Squarespace site on your desktop computer and shrink down your window, and you can see right away what it's going to look like on mobile versus a full-screen layout. And it does it all dynamically for you. It's super cool. E-commerce is available if you want to sell stuff through your site. Every website comes with a free online store. They also have cover pages, which you can set up. It's a beautiful one-page online presence. And you can set that up in minutes. It's perfect for creating, you know, a landing page or something for your brand, your identity, or promote a new product that you have. So if you haven't gathered by now, you should probably, you know, start a trial yourself. Check it out for yourself and see what you think. No credit card is required. Start building your website today. When you sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code AboutAndroid to get 10% off your first purchase. That's About Android. And we thank Squarespace for their support of All About Android and the Twit Network. Squarespace, build it beautiful. All right, let's get into hardware. I've been waiting for this. Florence Ion has spent the last week with the Samsung Galaxy S6 and S6 Edge. And I got to say, Florence, today, suddenly all the blogs, all the sites are posting their reviews of the S6, and all of them say pretty much the same thing. Something along the lines of Samsung's got its mojo back with the S6. What do you think?
I wholeheartedly agree. And actually, so I have not posted my review yet. Part of that is because I decided, first of all, I'm just going to be honest and say the embargo on this thing was like 12 hours. So nobody had time for that. So I decided to just kind of tackle it in sections. So tomorrow we're going to have a little ditty up about performance benchmarks. I've been benchmarking this thing for the last couple of days. My editor has been helping me just kind of tag teaming on it to see how things are doing. So we're going to do that tomorrow. And then the review should be up on Thursday, I'm hoping. So, but thus far, I'm incredibly like, so I have the S6 Edge in my hand right now, and I'm really in love with it. And I feel like I shouldn't say that because You never should really soon. Say that. Yeah, it's like it's always too soon. It's like I really just fell in love. First sight. I can't say that, you know.
You want the phone to be the one to say I love you first. You don't want to be the one to say I love you first. Yeah, I understand. I get it. So.
Look, it's a really, really nice phone. Samsung did a really good job just like completely overhauling its design. It's incredibly fast. I haven't experienced the same issues with TouchWiz that I have in the last couple of versions of the Galaxy S. So
that's, I don't know. That's good. That's a positive direction. No. I mean, you know, you've posted about TouchWiz saying it's no longer worth hating, which we've heard a lot about. They've really scaled back TouchWiz. Have they done anything about the installed apps aspect? I feel like I read somewhere in passing that it's still just TouchWiz in general with the installed apps takes up quite a bit of the drive space right out of the gate.
Yes. It's not – okay, there's still bloatware and you cannot uninstall it. You can only disable it, which is kind of annoying still. But when you do disable it, it will disappear completely from the applications manager. So then it just kind of disappears into the void. But it's still taking up that space.
Yeah. So you can pretend, but really annoying. Yeah.
But, you know, just to go back to kind of what I've been working on with this thing, I did a whole camera shootout with it in the first 12 hours that I had it in my hands. And holy crap, I was so impressed with the camera quality of this. Samsung didn't just increase the megapixels on the camera sensor they bundled with this thing. They didn't just, you know, copy and paste from one phone to the other. They really worked on refining the sensor that they had in the GS5. And you can totally see the difference. And I've been carrying this phone around just because I've wanted to use its camera to take pictures of things. And, you know, I've been using the Nexus 6, which as my daily driver, and maybe you know this, Jason, but it has one of the worst cameras I've ever used on an Android device. And I'm saying this because I tried to use it in the bar the other night and it just wasn't doing anything.
I mean, that's the litmus test right there is dark bar. How does it do?
I'm serious, though. Yeah. No, but I'm serious because when I go out at night and my friends and I, like whether we're at Zeitgeist, which is like a beer garden here in San Francisco, or whether, you know, I'm out hiking, I want to be able to take pictures in both those scenarios. And the GS6 is totally capable of that. It's so good at low light photography and just kind of taking whatever light is available, whatever ambient light is available, and capturing that and using that for the situation that you're photographing. Mm-hmm. So I'm impressed. I'm really impressed with it. And I haven't been this moved by a flagship in a while, I would say. Just because things have kind of felt a little redundant
yeah.
the last couple of generations.
Well, and you have to give it to Samsung for kind of changing people's mind about the edge approach, right? Last year we saw the Note Edge, and the Edge was on the one side. And I know, at least for myself, I was like, yeah, okay. I appreciate that you're doing something new.
The Note Edge is awful.
But there's just something weird going on here. Like, why is the Edge on one side? And what is the purpose of the Edge and everything? Suddenly they make it symmetrical. And for some reason, that makes all the difference in the world. Is it usable, though? Is that Edge something that you actually use now that you have access to it? Or is it just neat looking?
It's really pretty. It's just really pretty to look at. And it definitely like adds a little bit of refinement to the phone.
Sure.
And it makes it look much different than, you know, your normal slab of phone out there. And obviously it kind of helps differentiate it a bit from the iPhone because they're, you know, the similarities are uncanny, as I'm sure you've read in some of the reviews out there. It's hard to ignore. But there, besides the few little added features that they put in, it's not really, I honestly don't think it's $100 worth.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I just think that's a bit ridiculous to ask people to pay $100 more for curved edge. I understand it's a niche product. It's, you know, only going to appeal to a certain subset of people, but.
Yeah, but it's a wow factor thing. You know what I mean? And in a lot of cases, yeah. People are willing to spend $100 totally. More to have a phone that looks nothing like any other phone and actually good nothing, not bad. You know,
sure.
You know, I don't know. I can see a lot of people.
You don't get
being
added
cool with
functionality
that.
From it,
right?
But it's like buying. It's like fashion, okay?
Yep.
So it's like buying a. You know, I could go to Zara and get a pretty good coat for the winter. you know, for $100, or I can go to North Face and buy like the whole kit and caboodle for like $500 and, you know, be ready for the apocalypse. So it's kind of, maybe that was a little outlandish of a metaphor there, but it's kind of like that.
I'm picking up what you're laying down. What about you guys? You guys have any questions? This is a phone that we've been kind of hearing a lot about, and we have direct access to it. Are you guys interested?
I'm just fascinated by the Edge, just period, just by like, yeah. Like, does it feel different? Like, I mean, I saw you had a case on it beforehand. Does the case kind of nullify the Edge aspect, or?
Yes.
Okay.
But you know what? So like Spec sent me a bunch of cases to, and I've been using them to protect the phone, the phones, I should say. And when I pop it on the Galaxy S6 Edge, you know, it actually looks, gosh, I should have brought in the flat guy, but it actually looks pretty nice. Like, it doesn't look so bad. It doesn't look like it's covered in this big, you know, bulky thing. But it is a little bulky on the regular S6. Mm-hmm. So,
And
for cases, it's nice.
Yeah, and with the Edge, do you foresee a device that is very fragile because of that exposed edge on both sides? Like, it kind of seems like you're dropping that face down. There's nothing to protect it whatsoever. Unless you have a case on it. And then, actually, I guess with the Edge tapering off, the case would have to extend pretty far above the edge, right, in order to protect it in that regard. Is that awkward?
That's a good question. I try not to drop review units.
Well, it's probably a good idea to avoid doing so.
No, but I know what you mean. I mean, I have dropped phones, and I imagine that this would crack a lot like the Sony Xperia phones. Those things are super fragile.
Yeah.
Because they're all glass. So I would imagine it's kind of like that. I mean, if you want, I could drop it now and see how it does.
Don't put your life on the line. It's okay. We want you to still have a job when you're tough.
Virgil in the chat room actually asked a really good question. When you play video on the Edge, does the video go edge to edge, or does it stop just short of the edge?
It goes edge to edge.
Oh, interesting.
It's super weird, and you kind of have to get used to it. And then there's also that fear that you're going to accidentally touch the edge, and you're going to hit something you're not supposed. Well, you are touching the edge. You're not accidentally doing it, right? You're doing it on purpose as you're holding it, as you're cradling it. Excuse me. And I always feel like I'm going to touch something and you know, do something I'm not supposed to do. But thus far, that hasn't happened to me. So I'm wondering if it's just like the way that the panel underneath is, like the touch panel, how far that extends.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would have a lot to do with that. I'm kind of hoping, hello, iFixit, can you guys take apart this phone? I want to see what it's like underneath.
Let's see here. I'm previewing it. Okay, so let's hear. I'm about to put a link into chat for you, Brian. This is a link that I received from a couple of folks. Oh, no. Okay. Two links from Bleak, actually. So there we go. So there's a link in the chat. This is a video of a lady with the Note Edge. She's going to throw it down. And we're going to find out exactly what happens. This is what happens when you drop your Note Edge. This is what happens when you drop your Note Edge.
And she's angry.
Is it okay? I can't tell because the video is so low quality.
Drop it on? Because if you drop it on the BART platform concrete, that is going to ruin the phone. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
I've done that to review unit, and I'm really sorry, Sony.
Yeah, I know.
That's what happens.
I know for a fact that if you drop your phone right out of the front doors of Twit, you're going to have a bad day. I know that through personal experience as well. So there are places that like a phone is just, thank you. I'm having nightmares suddenly.
Well done, Brian.
Still, it looked like, I mean, regardless of the floor, although, if it's a squishy floor or kind of a bouncy floor, maybe that, you know, give or take, it might not crack it. And obviously didn't when she threw it down.
Back up. Are you able to install bouncy floors in your house? Because if so, sign me up for that. That's all I'm saying.
Actually, there is kind that you can install in your garage. My parents have it. It's kind of bouncy. It's really kind of cushiony.
The big takeaway today is we all need bouncy floors in our house, obviously. This is a dream I had when I was a kid, that all the floors in my house could be trampolines and I could just bounce from room to room. Now it can happen.
It's like that material they put in parks.
Yes.
Playgrounds. Not that I spend much time at the playground by myself. I'm just saying that when I've gone with my nieces or whatever, there's like it's like a foamy kind of floor.
And yes.
That stuff gives you splinters.
It's like a cushiony like a cork.
Which makes me wonder why they just don't line sidewalks with that now. But anyway, that's
It's still hard to tell, but with the audio, it sounds pretty hard, like linoleum or something like that.
So this here.
Whoa! Okay, that one definitely. Oh, God, it hurts.
Who is she mad at?
Why does she have to.
Why do you hate me, creator?
I think she hates the phone. I don't think she likes the phone at all.
Now she does because she's like, wow, I could do that.
And it's scenario. Because a normal scenario is you're like super drunk, you're stumbling out, or you just trip by accident.
The drug factor.
It wouldn't fall. The thing is, she was throwing it like face down. And the thing is, phones aren't cats. They don't fall that way.
Okay? But mine did.
On their side or whatever.
No, mine fell face down.
Yeah, see, and it shattered into pieces.
Yes, exactly.
She wasn't throwing hard enough. Girl,
I don't know. That sounded pretty hard. I will go ahead and say that, hey, it looks pretty durable based on that video. But I suppose we don't know. The quality of that video, by the way, is not very good. It's, what, 240p? So there you go. But still, impressive nonetheless. So, so sounds pretty positive. Sounds like you like it. That's awesome.
It's, you know... It's just
maybe not.
I'm sorry. I was brain fart on your show. I don't know why I do this. I feel so bad about it. I'm usually so good about dead air. The thing is, I don't want to speak. I don't want to speak too soon about it.
Yeah,
so that's why I'm kind of holding back a little bit.
I understand completely.
But I really like the phone, and I was surprised that I liked it because I was really disappointed by the last two Galaxies. I mean, it wasn't like super disappointed. I gave them both pretty good scores, but. But they weren't extraordinary, and they weren't game-changing.
Sure.
At least not for Samsung as a company.
Right. Now, Chris, you bring up a really good point. And everybody seems to be saying this about the camera, that the camera is just really good. Is that the kind of feature that would pull you into buying a phone like this, Chris?
Well, it's just so rare, at least for me, to read a review, you know, or hear lots of reviews talk about an Android phone with a really great camera.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's not something that happens too often. It's always, it's a good phone and it's, it's fast, but,
right.
And I noticed that even I've been using TimeHop a bunch lately and just seeing photos from previous years. And I'm just looking at them going, that crappy Galaxy Nexus camera, that crappy, Nexus 4 camera. I mean, cameras have always been pretty bad in that regard.
Struggle is real.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just Nexus cameras. Like, I mean, I thought the HTC M7 was probably one of my favorite Android phones, but it had a terrible camera.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been the case that the iPhone has got the best camera and the latest iPhone. But it's just really positive that there's at least a discussion about it with the S6. I mean, that, and I think the shell of the phone looks terrific. Obviously inspired a lot by Apple, but, it looks great. And I think they went stupid with the resolution personally. I'd rather they tapered that down and gave it more battery life.
Completely agree. Yeah. Completely agree on that.
Yeah. I mean,
the battery isn't so bad. It's not totally... It's fine thus far.
I would say the same about the Nexus 6, especially now that I've got it back. Like, the battery is sufficient, but I suppose the point being, like, if it was 1080p, and I imagine it's the same here, if it was 1080p and the battery was phenomenal, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's not so bad and it gets you through the end of the day, but if it was absolutely a no-brainer, the display would be perfect at 1080p. No one would be really missing any sub-pixels in 1080p, and that battery is going to be... crazy.
It feels
awesome.
Like something that the marketers want to tick off on the, oh, we've got higher PPI.
Meanwhile, people hate running out of batteries. That should be at the top of the list, but I guess it's not something you see with your eyes, or rather read with your eyes, because you're just reading dimensions, reading specs.
I'm okay with 720p. I mean, the Samsung Galaxy Alpha has 720p and it looks really good in person.
Yeah.
I mean, that's super AMOLED. Like, it's just bright and vibrant and very, contrasty, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
All of, oops, all the words that you can use for it. It just looks great. I'd be fine with it if it meant better battery life, too.
Totally. I completely agree. Now, before we move on, JJ in the chat room had a really good point, Chris. Link bubble on the edge. It actually makes perfect sense. Throw the bubbles onto the edge, and then the entire viewable space is your browser. Think about it.
I'd actually really like to. I'd like to check the edge out.
We've been giving you through the screen.
Yeah, just hand it from screen to screen. It's cool. We could do this.
Yeah, but because I mean, I thought the edge when they announced it, it was silly having it on one edge on the Note, and at the time I thought. It might be interesting, you know, even if it's just something a little bit different to have it on both sides, even if it doesn't do anything. But mm-hmm. I didn't think Samsung were capable of releasing it and not throwing, you know, a bunch of gimmicks on there.
Totally.
So I'm definitely pleasantly surprised with the way they've approached it. If and when it comes to stores in Australia, I'll, you know, definitely check it out. And my phone contract's, I think, is up. So, you know, it's at the point where I'm paying a plan as if I'm paying for a phone, so I might as well just get a new phone anyway. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'll have a look at it in that regard. But yeah, I think the Edge looks quite cool.
Excellent stuff. Cool. Well, we'll look forward to your review, Florence. I imagine that's going to go up on Greenbot sometime in the next who knows how long, week, couple of weeks, couple of days. What are you thinking?
A couple of days.
A couple of days? All right. Cool. Well, definitely check greenbot.com.
And PCWorld.com.
And PCWorld.com. Yeah. Right. Thank you. And then related to the Samsung and HTC pre-orders for their flagships are already underway. Simultaneous release. They're releasing on the same day.
On fire.
I know. No kidding.
Be a crazy little
April
race.
10th. Yeah. April 10th is the release day. So soon we're going to see a lot of these. Let's say, out and about in the subways and all that. Okay, cool. And then, Ron, real quick, we have some OnePlus news.
Yeah, it's time to reset the how many days since a marketing accident at OnePlus. Sad trombone, Brian.
We really should have a bumper for that, but whatever.
OnePlus has announced that a few weeks ago that it's when they announced that its Oxygen OS would be made public by March 27th. And CyanogenMod 12S would push to the OnePlus One devices by March 30th. It also promised to give away 5 handsets if it missed either of those deadlines. Well, sure enough, they missed both of them. And now they're placing some of the blame squarely on Cyanogen. And I say the update will come as soon as possible. And in other Oppo news, the company's founder took to Reddit to announce the company's next product, a drone called the DR1. And that's all we know about it. So
let's get it. DR1, DRONE, drone.
Yeah, drone one. Yeah.
How did they blame it on Cyanogen? Because I find that very interesting. Like, what was the tone of the blame?
Let's see here. They put it in this article, anyways. Putting some of the blame. Okay, so this is Stephen Hall at 9to5 Google writing. It says putting some of the blame of this. On Cyanogen, though, saying they don't have much influence over CyanogenMod's release schedule nor development progress.
Okay.
So I suppose there's that part, the Cyanogen aspect of it. I think what OnePlus probably learned here is that announcing an exact date for something like this is a big gamble, and that's probably why you don't see many companies do this. And if you do see them do this, they do it for like 3 or 4 months out, if not longer.
Well, I found it coincidental they did it on the day that the embargo for the GS6 lifted.
Okay.
Like, I logged online on, you know, and then... Yeah. 9 o'clock my time, which is like Pacific time. So, you know, y'all have been awake for a while on the other end of the country. And they're like, there's a Reddit AMAA going on right now with, OnePlus. I'm like, huh. It's very coincidental.
Yeah. Deflect. Overshadow.
Drones.
Oh, drones. We've got drones over here. That's all we're going to say.
Oh, geez. But anyway, so OnePlus, we're resetting the counter.
All right.
Don't screw up again.
Or a couple of days into the new countdown.
God, it's like a construction site.
All right, so we have an email from Nick. in Ontario, Canada, who says, love the show. I had installed silence after it was discussed on your show. It worked so well for so long that I forgot I had it installed. This came about when I updated to 5.0 and my Ringer kept going off at work when I expected for it to be on silence. The Play Store shows everyone is having this issue along with crashes when the UI is used on 5.0. My question to you guys is if you know of any similar alternatives. I loved the scheduling and the fact that it can follow a Google Calendar to toggle on those events. Agent is good for this. I actually tried it out before the show. Agent has a way where you can link any of your calendars to its silence mode, and then when it detects that, it actually switches you from all, which is kind of the let all notifications through setting on Lollipop, to priority, so that anything that you have set to priority can come through. Otherwise, it's silent. You can also use Lollipop's built-in priority options to set downtime. So, and I can actually show that real quick here. Oh, hello. Okay, so let's see here. So we'll turn this on like that. Okay, so priority. And then you can kind of see here, we've got the priority menu and the setting. I'll go ahead and do the setting. And down here, you've got downtime. And, you know, you can set the days on which this downtime is supposed to happen, start and end time down there, and then interruptions allowed. And you can set that to, here, let's see if I can just let that shine through, priority or none. So you can basically say priority interruptions are okay, or let nothing through during this time. So that can save you at nighttime. And you can also set it so that, you know, your starred contacts or important contacts can get through no matter what. So there are a couple of different ways. I don't know why Agent works and Silence doesn't, unless it's just a fact that the developers on Agent have done something obviously a little bit different than what they're doing on Silence. Or maybe it's fixed in 5.1 because I got the 5.1 update on this phone this morning. So I don't know. But anyways, there's a couple of options for you. Are you guys liking the kind of the Ringer options now that you've gotten used to it in Lollipop?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Took a while. Took me a while, but I like it. What's up?
I'm still missing my alarms.
Well, oh, you're still missing alarms, but they fixed that, didn't they?
Well, I don't have 5.1 yet on the Nexus 6 for whatever reason.
Oh, okay.
It just hasn't come through. So I still got to remember not to leave the phone on none of the night otherwise.
And that's a pretty big deal. Yeah, that was. I'm sure a lot of people showed up to work late because of that.
They're very understanding here when I show up to work late. I'm like,
You're on the Android beat. You can just blame your OS. Exactly.
Just blame Cyanogen. Everybody else does.
Blame Cyanogen. Okay, let's take a quick break and thank another sponsor of today's episode. That is LegalZoom. Love LegalZoom as well. I've been using LegalZoom for the past 5 years. I used them before I was even working at Twit to put together our last will and testament when our first daughter was born. If you're thinking about starting a business, though, LegalZoom can hook you up there as well. Now is the best time. It's National Start Your Business Month at LegalZoom.com. It's never been easier to start building your future. LegalZoom provides the support that you need. For more than 10 years, they've helped a million business owners just like you. If you need advice for your business, LegalZoom's got you covered. They're not a law firm, but they've built a network of trusted attorneys that can provide you guidance, the guidance that you'll need for whatever your specific situation happens to be. And the best part, during National Start Your Business Month, LegalZoom is offering an attorney consultation for only $50. They can hook you up with an attorney and you can meet with them for $50. That's it. If you're unsure about the best way to start, or if you're already running a business and you need some advice, this offer is for you. Get legal advice for your business with no further obligation for a low one-time cost. You just go to LegalZoom.com and go today. Find out more there. Attorney consultations are provided by independent attorneys available in most states. You can get the legal help you need for your business at LegalZoom.com and make sure and enter the offer code AAA in the referral box to save even more. That's LegalZoom.com, promo code AAA. Thank you, LegalZoom, for your support of All That Android, and I hope you come back. Let's check out a few apps. All right, so this was this is one of those things that I feel like I've heard a lot of people request, and we've been seeing you know, little hints that it was happening and everything. The continuing saga of de-plussing its properties. Google Photos is now integrated into the Google Drive app. You can also add that folder to your My Drive and get a file directory structure out of it. So basically, they're not moving it entirely. Let me see if I can go to my drive. You can see in my settings up there, auto add. So there's a little photos option now up there. Auto add, automatically put Google Photos into a folder in My Drive. And I've already set up the My Drive. Let me make sure. This is all I'm getting in my Google Photos, though, when it syncs. And I know I have more than one picture in my Google Photos. So I don't know what's going on there, but although I do love the picture. So anyways, they're appearing there. A lot of people are kind of complaining that it isn't full control. But you know what? Hey, it's better than the access that you get through Photos. Some people say, I actually don't mind the access in Photos. What do you guys think?
I like it. I think it's a little redundant.
It is redundant. Google's good at that.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just waiting to see what they're going to do with the Google Plus and the Google Plus Photos, really. This is the beginning of the end. This is the beginning of the end.
Is it? I don't know if it's the beginning.
That's what I put in my write-up. I'm like, this is probably the beginning of the end. Just like, hey, you can do this now. Google Plus is going to die.
Oh, do you think that's going to happen? I really hope that doesn't happen.
I mean, they still haven't hired anybody to take it over, so.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but doesn't Google know that I use it a lot?
You use Google Plus?
Yes, all the time, daily.
Yeah.
No, that's. Yeah. I mean, that's fine. Google Plus is fine, but I mean, like.
I suddenly feel bad for using Google Plus. Are you Plus shaming me?
I think it makes sense. I never understood why make Google Plus is the main central point for photo backup when you had Drive and it's all integrated. Sure, you should use Google Plus to access your photos on Drive, but why not just put them on? I think this is the right direction. I think it's been misguided up to this point, and I think this is the beginning of the end that is welcome. So,
well, as long as it's not the beginning of the end of Google Plus as a social service, because I really like it.
Yeah, agreed. I'm enjoying as I've tried to post there more and more and move away from my Twitter and Instagram addiction and post stuff to Google Plus. The interaction is great, but to have photos hosted there never sit right with me.
I totally agree with that.
It makes sense to have it in Drive, and especially because that'll give a nice little punch to Evernote and all the other like organizing apps out there.
Yeah.
Be like, look, you could just use Google, and then you can have Google Keep, and then you could bring stuff in from, you can bring images in from Google Drive through Google Keep, and then blah, 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 blah. So that's what's probably going to happen.
But you are absolutely right, Florence. Google is really good at redundancy to the point of confusion. It's hard to know where to go sometimes.
We love Android, but it's confusing.
They just can't help themselves.
Well, speaking of can't help themselves, I'll talk a little bit about Gmail. But Jason, I left a little note for you in the chat to check out after this.
Okay.
But so Google added a new mailbox to its Gmail app that's called All Inboxes that merges all of your synced Gmail accounts as well as those from external services and, yes, IMAP and POP accounts into one unified mailbox. This is a trend that has been occurring across mail clients that I hate personally as an email guy, the unified mailbox. I like to keep my accounts separate, but I definitely understand and see that some people like to have a unified inbox and give me all my mail into one place. And so it's neat that Google's adding support for it in Gmail. They also added threaded conversation view for external services, a smarter autocomplete in the search box, and some neat animations as they do, as the material design gets even neater and a little more established in place.
I'm loving it.
Yeah, exactly. So neat little changes to Gmail. But on the topic of mail, Jason, if you approve, I think we've got some breaking news.
Go for it. Yeah, let's do it. Breaking news. Kick it. Well, that works.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's not very lollipop-y.
Not very lollipop-y.
Oh, there we go. All right, there we go. That I can get with. All right.
All right. Well,
thank you, Brian.
Thanks to Florence, who's on the show right now, for having the eye to notice that Google just posted Smartbox by Inbox, the mailbox of tomorrow, today. And it looks as if this is probably Gmail's little April Fool's prank. So we're going to watch
it live. Don't shatter our dreams.
Greatest of inventions that built a nation and brought us, all of us, together.
This could be a long
and yet, as we've become more
complex, much
the same. Get to the point, Google.
It just sits there in a box all day.
What is the budget on these videos?
It's time for a change.
I mean,
introducing a new.
And how far in advance of April Fool's do they start coming up with these?
Yeah.
The good old-fashioned kind that you touch with your hands. And smell with your mouth. Imagine totally a mailbox that saves you a trip when nothing is there. Or notifies you the second it arrives.
Oh, okay.
Standard envelope.
A mailbox that learns from your habits.
I like it.
That's never
this
too
This doesn't exist. It should.
I would love
mail
this.
For today,
should I pick up the junk
with
mail
all
or
the
not?
Things we love about the electronic kind, like smart folders.
Should have an incinerator built in?
So that would be perfect, actually.
Oh, this is amazing.
And apps
this is
that
great.
Do more.
Whoa. Imagine oh. Built in. What are you doing?
That's it's portable, time. Okay.
Time to free your mail.
Music crescendos. Thank you, subtitles.
Good-looking people running.
This makes me want to get mail. Like real mail.
Yeah.
Like not
mail's
email.
The worst.
Smart box by inbox by Gmail by Google.
By Google. Oh, good. They're making fun of the fact they have inbox by Google by
Gmail. Good work, Google. I can't wait to see that real product happen.
I would love a mailbox like that.
I mean, up to the point of the tablet embedded in it, like that really makes the joke. But the idea of the mailbox, I mean, it seems like something that smart things.
Yeah, I was
like,
going to say.
That's to do. Yeah,
totally,
exactly.
Totally at
well,
some
like,
point.
Google's making fun of the fact that you can put Android on everything.
Yeah.
And take it with you, by the way. You can take your mailbox with you.
Yeah.
I like that. You know, Gmail was an April Fool's Day release. If you remember.
Was it?
Yes, it was. It was released on April Fool's Day, and many people wondered if it was an April Fool's joke. Turned out it wasn't, and that turned out to be a big deal. So I'm just saying.
Sign up
this
for email today.
Smartbox by Inbox could be real. This could be a callback to one of their most important April Fool's Day releases.
Just love
so at the end of the video, it says to email to get early access, and the deadline is April 2nd. So make sure you get your emails in.
Okay.
To get, just in case, Jason.
Subtle, Google. That was subtle, Google. Excellent stuff. Hey, do you guys remember how like Maps was redesigned a while back? And when they did that, they said goodbye to features. And you were like, hey, Maps, why'd you get rid of those features? Why'd you do that? Well, one of those features was custom maps access inside of Maps, the Maps app, which I used only a handful of times. You can create a custom map on the desktop and then save it. And then go back later, and it's good for like multi-point trips and everything. You could still create those custom maps. You had to use a separate app on Android called My Maps by Google in order to access them. Well, now Google grants you access inside the Maps app once again, so you've got it right inside the app that you're probably already using. Look towards the bottom of the Your Places section. And you'll find any of your personal maps. If you keep scrolling down, this is kind of like the how-to to get there. There you go. Those red points in the middle, which are labeled untitled maps. So, yeah, which it's really cool for like multi-point. Like if you have three different places to be, you can track that on desktop and then move it into there when you're on the road. And it's really handy. So I was happy to see that back. Welcome back. It's good to have you home.
Yeah. And on some interesting app news, music related, you might have heard a big deal about Tidal and Jay-Z. And if you remember a few weeks, months ago, I brought Tidal to the Android App Arena on this very show.
You
where
knew.
I lost.
You knew.
Where I lost, yeah. Mm-hmm. And well, Jay-Z back in January spent $56 million and bought the company Aspiro AB, which is a Swedish company that owned Tidal. And yesterday announced his plans for it, and it's could be pretty game-changing. We'll see. But Tidal is relaunching as a streaming music service that is co-owned by artists. At the announcement, there was a big press conference in New York, again, the center of the universe.
Yep.
And they announced that not only did Jay-Z and Beyonce are on board, but Coldplay, Rihanna, Daft Punk, Alicia Keys, Calvin Harris, Jack White, Madonna, Usher, Arcade Fire, Deadmau5. Like it was a pretty impressive rundown of artists that are on board, and the idea being that after artists getting nothing from Spotify and very little from RDO and all the kind of royalty deals and stuff that are in place, that the musicians should get paid for what they're for their music. And so folks like Kanye West and Madonna and Coldplay all are
on
board.
I'm sorry, Kanye West and Madonna need to get paid for their music?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's a good
they
point.
They need more money? Look, she's wearing freaking Louis Vuitton because she's like a spokeswoman for them.
Yep. Well,
I'm sorry.
Say what you will.
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, I totally agree. On the other hand,
the video,
you're creating something. You know, yeah, of course, you're going to want to get paid for it. I did think that it was funny during the announcement that Madonna, they all ended up going up to sign something. I'm not entirely sure what all of those artists
declaration
were.
Declaration of Independence.
It really looked like a Declaration of Independence
of
some
and
sort.
That was probably the point. I mean, So what's happening is that Jay-Z is offering equity in the company to these artists, as well as they're getting paid to be on board. And it's clearly a way to get people to notice what they're doing. But it's interesting because Tidal, one of the things that got criticized when we looked at Tidal in the Android app arena was that there was no free option. That you could sign up for a 30-day trial, and then after those 30 days, you had to pay or stop using the app. Mm-hmm. And they're still keeping that. They've adjusted from when I reviewed it in the app arena. So now they have a lo-fi, kind of a lower bandwidth version for $9.99 a month, or the $19.99 a month lossless, high-def, kind of super really nice audio. What I thought was interesting on the Verge article, they mentioned that while Spotify has a free model and has advertising and that sort of thing, they've gotten 60 million users, and of which 15 million users are paying subscriptions. Tidal, since it launched in the fall, only has 17,000 paying subscribers. So the question is whether or not people will pony up the money to get access to these music. That said, the early reviews I've seen on Tidal have been the new playlists that they have are fantastic and rival the ones that are on Beats on Apple service, which has kind of been pushed to be the best kind of playlist service for music right now. And the question is whether or not people like Taylor Swift, who went away from Spotify, or other artists who are, real movers and shakers in the music industry, if they'll come to Tidal to get a cut of the action, and if that's the only place you can get them on a streaming service. Mm-hmm. So Tidal could be a flash in the pan, or it could be something major to deal with in music. I mean, it's too early to tell, but it's definitely – and it's going to be interesting to see what Apple then does, because they're going to relaunch the Beats streaming service soon, and how they're going to counterbalance this, because with people like U2 in their corner and whoever else Apple can woo over, and this might be good for artists but bad for customers, in that you'll have sectioning. If you want to like this artist, you've got to use this service. So
yeah. Yeah, we actually talked, or Leo and company actually talked a lot about this on today's Mac Break Weekly, and it was kind of compared to kind of the Netflix approach, that these artists are using, potentially, going to kind of go the route of Tidal being a premium music service, but you a certain group of, House of Cards, but in the music world, Madonna or whatever the case may be.
But it's mostly top 40. I mean, if I want to listen to their music, I could just turn on the 5 radio stations here in the Bay Area that play all of their music.
Yeah.
I like Spotify because it helps me discover new music. I like it because I can, find European artists that I wouldn't normally find, or I can find indie bands, that I wouldn't normally find on my own. And then I go to their shows, and that's how I give them money. I pay a lot of money to go see them live and buy their merchandise. And I don't know. I just think this is a slightly pretentious way of selling this new music streaming service. And it's not rubbing me the right way.
I think they pitched it in a very bizarre way by, going front and center. Oh yeah, this is owned by artists. Like, yeah. I mean, as others have said, like, you guys are doing pretty well at the moment, right? Like, you're doing better than the people that are paying you $10 or $20 a month. Like, this is – it's a strange pitch to want to give more to these people.
I totally get that, especially with that level of stardom or whatever in place. Mm-hmm. But the question is whether or not how open they'll be to supporting artists who actually need that equity cut
Absolutely.
Or need that money. Whether or not – yeah, I mean, like, you hear stories about bands like was it Squeeze, who is systematically re-recording their back catalog to make recordings that they own because they make no money on streaming, And so, like, you hear stories about that that are just like, you know, a lot of musicians, you know, you're Florence, you're right, that you go to the show, you pay for tickets, you can buy a t-shirt, but a lot of bands can't tour because they're either too old or they can't support it or whatever else is going on. And
well,
it's not just the bands.
I think it's also the, you know, the technicians and that sort of stuff involved in the creation of music that don't get anything basically out of streaming at the moment. Right. So I think there's a good goal in that. But it's also, you know, it's part of it is capitalism, right? Like the old model of buying a CD was just, you know, you bought it on vinyl and then you bought it on tape and you bought it on CD. That was just, it was just ridiculous. And it's silly to look back at the peak of that and say, oh, well, you know, sales have dropped off so much. That's because, you know, consumers were being largely shafted then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting also to think about this in the terms of these artists basically creating their own label and distribution platform, which could potentially be an interesting new kind of direction going forward for music if something like this was to take off. You know,
it's not a label, though. My understanding of Tidal is Tidal isn't a label.
No, it isn't a label. I could see it becoming one. In a different sense.
Aren't they all signed to Live Nation now or something like that?
Live Nation is a monster. I know Madonna has a relationship with Live Nation, and I'm sure many of them other also do for their touring and that sort of things. And many of them have relationships with record labels.
The record label, that's just a racket, right?
You sign a
contract, and you are just bound until you deliver those seven albums. You know, it doesn't matter if it takes 30 years; you can't release anything else. Like, I'm surprised that more people don't seem to be going after disrupting that model.
You should watch Empire. This talk's all about that stuff.
Yeah, I haven't. I'm aware of Empire. I haven't seen it.
Two things. One, I do think that Taylor Swift is on board with Tidal, if memory serves. Yes, Taylor Swift's approval. So there you go. This is a streaming service Taylor Swift can get behind. And two, did Jay-Z not see the Android App Arena results? Because then maybe Jay-Z would not have bought Tidal.
Yeah. Well, Jay-Z let's say thank God he didn't. So
there we go. Interesting nonetheless. I like seeing kind of new players on this scene because absolutely the music industry has gone through crazy changes in the past 15 years, and it obviously has a lot further to go for everyone to be happy with where it's landing, because we all know how we want to get our music. You know, we all live our lives on the internet these days, so that should be the way. But I personally want artists to feel like they're being paid what they deserve. Yes, these people sit on very, you know, on mountains of money and stuff. They're also making a product that they should be paid for.
I don't begrudge them any of that at all. I think, but if you look at the successful products of, you know, recent years, they become successful by growing the pie, right? And I don't see Tidal grows the pie. I listen to music through these, you know, cheap headphones. Like, I don't give a damn about, you know, high quality audio. It's just not going to make any difference to me. It seems like you make a lot more money by getting 300 million people paying for a streaming service rather than 60. Mm-hmm. And Tidal to me doesn't seem to show anything that would get them there. But, you know, maybe I don't know enough about it. It'll be interesting. Certainly if they've got a lot of incentive now to make it work, right? All these big superstars putting their name and face on it. It'd be pretty embarrassing if nothing came of it. So we'll see how it plays out, I guess.
Generationally, though, I think it'll be interesting how the long tail of this kind of evolution works, right? You started with records and, you know, pretty good. I'm sure you started with other things before that, but mainly we started with records. Then we went to, you know, more in the direction of convenience with 4-track and with cassette tape. Then CD brought us back to quality. And then files takes us in, by some accounts, away from quality, but more back into convenience. We're probably of the generation of, well, yes, the convenience is what we buy into, right? Like, we like the convenience, and that's what's important to us. Kids growing up nowadays, they might value quality again. And they might be like, you know what, convenience, that doesn't matter. That's, and there's actually a big kind of resurgence of people purchasing vinyl right now. A lot of the younger generation is buying into vinyl again because it has the cachet, but also because of the quality aspects. So
I am the young generation buying the vinyl, FYI.
but you don't buy into a service like Tidal. Right,
no,
like it doesn't appeal to you.
But I don't care about those people. That's why I don't need Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. For you, it's more a selection.
And I have all of Daft Punk stuff on LP anyway, and like on CD. Guys, I keep buying your crap every couple of years.
I know, right? We're conditioned to keep buying their crap.
Well, because they're my favorite, so I buy everything. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat. I mean, I don't. I mean, I listen. I stopped listening to Arcade Fire after the last good record, and then you know, or whatever, years ago, and none of those other artists, you know, speak to me. But I do listen to a lot of artists that are small and indie and deserve to make money for the stuff they put out there. And and if this is another option that potentially could do that for them, then cool. Let's see where it goes. Yeah.
By the way, selfishly, love that All About Android just turned into a mini music podcast. No, I think it's awesome. I love it. It's close to my heart, and I love it. That's what I'm happy.
You know, me too. I mean, like, it's this kind of thing that it's. I mean, we talked about disrupting the record labels and stuff like that. I mean, I grew up, you know, a fan of Discord Records, which is complete, you know, record label disruption. In the 1990s, they said, we're going to put out CDs because they cost $8, and we're going to charge $8 because that's how much they cost, and we don't need to overcharge and charge $18 because it's okay. Like, we can get by doing that. And it's this DIY sense of connecting with your fans, and that for whatever reason, the past 20 years have been the music industry has been riddled with problems and speed bumps and Napsters and Spotify's and every problem that's happened, and they can't get it right. And I just want to see you get it right, because people like you, Jason, and other people who are great musicians should be able to make music and make money off of it, just like any other thing. So, yeah. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see where it goes. I'm not sure if Jay-Z is the messiah in this problem, but it's nice to see them trying to take, you know, some control over it.
And the fact that someone like Jay-Z can pull in someone like that entire stage full of notable, you know, well-known artists, that's the big difference here, is that they're putting their collective well-known kind of brands behind this. I just don't know if it's going to be very successful. I suppose time will tell.
They should have a free option. I mean, period. Yeah. I mean, right now it's got to be about getting users, and there should be some sort of free option, but they'll figure that out. So
good episode of AAA, as a WL guy in chat room puts it, all about albums.
Nice. There you go.
All right. Let's take a break. Thank our final sponsor of today's episode, and that is HipChat. I've actually been using HipChat a lot lately. We have some of our producer teams, definitely a lot of our shows here at Twit, are using HipChat to communicate. How is your team communicating? HipChat makes this easier. Are they using a variety of email, IM, texting, cloud storage, document sharing apps? HipChat puts everything in one place and is designed specifically for business. It's IM, it's video chat, document sharing, screen sharing, system updates, code sharing, and it's all integrated into one simple platform. You know, we complain about email all the time. It's slow. Meetings get sidetracked. Regular IM doesn't work well for large groups. HipChat keeps your team in sync with each other, and it works from any device, no matter where you are. I have it on my Chrome OS. I have it on my Android device. Anytime I fire up my Android device or my Chrome OS, HipChat's running, and I get those chats. I also, you know, can opt to get them sent to my inbox. If that is the best way to reach me. HipChat integrates with the top developer tools, GitHub, Jira, Zendesk, and more. There's actually 57 services that HipChat plays nice with. And HipChat brings your entire project and team communications together in one place. It's easy to set up. It's fun to use. It makes your team super productive. You should take a look for yourself. Get your team on the same page in seconds. There's a freemium version that you can use free forever. But for the next 30 days, you'll get the full version of HipChat, which includes the bonus features of video and screen sharing. And you can try HipChat free, no credit card required, by visiting hipchat.com/allaboutandroid. Use that URL so that they know that we sent you, hipchat.com/allaboutandroid. Sign up, click on Start Chatting, then invite a few team members and try free for 30 days. And for the first 100 signups, HipChat is going to extend you from 30 days free to 90 days free. So check it out for yourself. Remember, it's hipchat.com/allaboutandroid. HipChat, your team, your project, in sync instantly. And we thank HipChat for their continued support of All About Android and the Twit Network. All right, are we ready? Are we ready to battle in the arena?
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
I haven't looked in a while, but I'm fearing it.
There's another one.
Yeah, there you go. Source, Ron, you are the winner.
I didn't think I'd be able to do it that way. I thought Source would be like, oh, just another newsreader, but I guess people like the Clinker apps.
It's a nicely designed reader. Source gets 47% of the vote. Curvatron, yeah, you know, when you enter the arena with a Snake remake, I suppose you can't expect a lot. But I thought it was a good remake. And hey, 35% is no slouch. 47-35, it's not like it was a blowout. And then Drive Now with 18%. So that means I am the big loser. Okay.
I will. It looks like I'm closing the gap now. It looks like, Jason, you've got 5 wins. I've got 4, and the guests have got 3. So I went from last now to I'm knocking on the door.
Yep. Knocking on the arena's door. Okay. Mine should be pretty quick. It's called Pinsy. And the reason that this caught my eye, basically, what is Pinsy? Pinsy, the app, before we get to the where component, is a way for you to connect with people and send pictures to them. So this amazing picture was sent from me to Ron when I was playing around with it. And then Ron sent this amazing picture to me, which if I could read it, I think it says from my phone. Yep. That's because I said from my watch. Did you get that? Is this sinking in now? From my watch. Are you getting it? Okay, so basically I can send pictures. If Ron was wearing an Android Wear device, I could send this and go done. It says blah, by the way. So I just sent it. And then are you going to get the notification? Once you get the notification, eventually it'll pop up there.
Way to rotate my arm.
That's okay. Moron. And it might not pop up like immediately, but you'll probably get it soon. And while we're waiting, I'll show on my watch what I got from Ron. So let's see here.
I got it.
You got it? Oh, yep. Show it.
It's very bright.
Oh, it's very bright. Okay, it's there. I promise.
Let me turn down my brightness. Let me turn down my brightness. How do I turn down my brightness? They changed it.
That's
sunlight mode.
Oh, and I think I dismissed yours. Maybe you can send me one.
Hang on, adjust brightness. All right, hang on. I'm going to knock it down to a 2. Hopefully that will do it.
We didn't plan watch brightness in this complex web. This looks about the same.
Let me take my watch off.
All you got to do is... that's the way you do it. Yes. No. Yeah. Oh. And it went away. That's okay. It's nice.
One more time.
I like your minor threat background.
Yes, so do I.
There we go. Okay. So So it's not the prettiest picture in the world, but it's proof of concept, right? I can use my watch to draw pictures and send them to Ron's watch, who can then reply and draw pictures to send to my watch.
Nintendo's okay? Crypto Chat.
It kind of reminds you of this fruit company's watch. Where you can do things and send it to other watches. It's totally elegant, don't you think?
It's pretty cool.
Okay, good.
I just sent you one.
Oh, come on, Brian. It's not that bad.
Yay.
I think it's cool.
It's cool too.
Maybe not as cool, but it's a great start. It's called Pinsy, and I think you should check it out. It is free, I believe. Yeah, I believe it's free. I actually didn't look that up. Incognito window, pin the link, and it is indeed free. Yes, check it out for free. It's called Pinsy. You can do it all on your phone if you want to draw and send pictures, or you can do it on your watch. See, their example is prettier than mine. It's got hearts on it.
Is that? I was just trying to figure that out.
That's a good point. What watch is that?
Nobody knows.
Interesting. It's a nice watch, though.
Yeah,
it's probably just a regular watch that they Photoshop stuff on.
Shut up, Brian.
Play that trombone again.
Quit it, Brian. Brian's in cahoots with Ron. All right, well, there you go. You can do it too. That's all I'm saying. Just because Apple has it on their Apple Watch. You could do it also. All right.
This is before Apple. Okay.
Yeah, before. Yeah. A couple of weeks before.
Remember copy and paste? How long did it take you guys to get that?
Can you do a heart? Can you send a heartbeat? That's what I want to know. No, it doesn't look like you sent a heartbeat. Pinsy, get on it. Track my heartbeat through my watch and send it.
Hey, Jason, I think you have some notifications.
Oh, I got it. Hold on. Let me see if I got it on my watch yet. I didn't feel the buzz. Hey.
There it is.
Hey. Xeon watch. Hey, there it is. Oh, that's a beautiful picture, Ron. I'll go ahead and draw and say hi.
This is costing hundreds of dollars of equipment to say hi.
you have all the power in the world, and what do? You say hi.
The future.
All right, there you go. Pinsy, get it. Cool. Okay, let's see here. All right, Chris, this is an app that was on my list, so I'm happy you're covering it.
I know, me too. It was on my list too.
Nuzzle. It's a terrific app. To me, it seems like it should be there built inside of Twitter itself instead of those ridiculous activity tabs. I don't know how anyone could ever explain what those tabs in Twitter itself are supposed to do. But what Nuzzle does is you sign up with your Twitter and then it just goes through and checks, okay, these are the people you follow and these are the articles that they've shared that has been shared most by the people that you follow. And it's integrated really well. You know, you click the button there and it shows comments that your friends have made on the article, so you can see them all in one place. And they also have handy links to common places, you know, where there's more discussion, like Hacker News or Reddit and stuff like that. I've been sort of using the beta of it for, gosh, coming up on a month or something now, and yeah, I think it's really well done, and it's one of the few really great iPhone exclusive apps that iPhone had over Android that is now no longer an advantage for iPhone users. There, it's on Android and it's terrific. I really recommend it.
On iOS, does it follow the same design approach? Because they did a really good job, kind of with the following some of the material design.
It's aspects. Very similar. I don't know that the cards are quite as accentuated on the main feed, but certainly it looks very, very similar to iPhone from what I can remember.
Yeah, no, a friend of mine is actually an advisor to this company and turned me on to the web version before the Android version came out. And so I've been using it on the web and on through the emails that they send. But when I got downloaded the app, it looks Android app material designy, mm-hmm. but also unique to Nuzzle's design with their other. I don't know about iOS. I haven't seen it on iOS, but at least in terms of the web, you know, they've been able to bridge the gap between the two, which I think is an interesting design challenge to keep their identity but still bring it over to the material design of Lollipop. So,
yeah, I completely agree.
And Nuzzle's awesome. Nuzzle's really cool.
It has a pocket integration. You can sync Twitter and Facebook on here. Yeah, great way because especially because I use Twitter like an RSS reader a lot of the times. It is my access to the web at any given moment for the most part. I always have it kind of loaded up and, you know, seeing things. So this is a good way to get an overview of, you know, in greater numbers and kind of unified a little bit more. Like, what was the big story today? What were all of my contacts sharing? So great pick.
It's a great app. Because the votes on Google Plus, there'll probably be a lot of people complaining that Nuzzle doesn't work with Google Plus, but that's mm-hmm. Google's fault. Don't blame Nuzzle for that one.
And with the direction that Google Plus is going, do we think anyone will ever get access to this kind of stuff?
No. I certainly wouldn't bet on it. I mean, Flipboard have still got it, but yeah. No, I wouldn't hold out any hope for that, which is a shame. But I guess we just have to wait and see what Google's plans are for in that space.
Yep, yep. All right, so this is Nuzzle. It is free. Check it out. Yeah, great app. I've been playing with it a lot. I love it. All right, Florence. I had not heard of this one before, and I installed it and replaced my keyboard with it. So convince me.
Okay. Well, it's the Broad City keyboard. And if you don't watch Broad City, then you have no idea what I'm talking about.
Pretty much.
Basically, I'm obsessed. Okay, so I have to be really honest with everybody. I've been super busy with the GS6 stuff for the last like 2 weeks, so I couldn't think of an app today. So I picked the Broad City keyboard, and there's some paraphernalia that should be scrolled over that can be seen on video right now. But if you watch Broad City,
I wasn't aware.
You get all of the jokes. And it's just a keyboard to send your friends Broad City emojis and Broad City GIFs and Broad City everything. And I've been doing this with my girlfriends and my guy friends for the last couple of weeks.
I'm afraid to scroll anywhere. Everywhere really I go is dangerous.
Show. I'm sorry. It's on a Comedy Central. So it's not like, you know, not an accessible show. But if you like really ridiculous stoner comedy, then you'll like Broad City. And it's written by women. Yay! Oh, and it's also executive produced by Amy Poehler. How could I not mention that? I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry.
It's not working for me. Okay. No,
I'm so sorry.
Let's see here. I just want a picture.
I'm definitely not winning this arena. Yes, queen.
It's okay. There might be a crazy amount of crossover between Broad City and All About Android that I just don't know about. I want these things to go up there, but maybe what it is that Google Keep, which is what I'm using to show it off, doesn't support it.
Yeah, it's
cut away from me for a second. What do you use it in? Hangouts?
I use it in Textra.
Oh, I don't.
Which is
have
my
that.
Texting app.
Okay, maybe I can like create an email and
I'm
use
sorry.
It or something. No, no, don't be sorry.
I still use my phone like a 13-year-old girl. All I do is send text messages to my friends all day with inside jokes, and this really helps with it. So okay. If you like really bad inside jokes, you should download the Broad City
keyboard.
Don't
go to that part of the keyboard. Okay, all right. Now I think I can do it.
Oh God, they're never gonna let me back on ever again.
Oh, are you kidding? We'll put her there, and then we'll.
That's her and that's Lana on the wig.
I'm just adding a bunch of images to this email. It's going to be the best email in the world. And that hat. Okay. All right. Well,
I feel really bad.
I'm going to send this to you, Florence.
I did not think this through before I picked this.
It's okay. It's okay. It was a valiant effort. I'm pretty positive.
You knew what I was talking about, and I was like, Broad City keyboard, let's do that. Or I offered to do another one, and you said you didn't pick that one. So I was like, oh, I guess he knows Broad City, and it's okay.
Honestly, I was running so far behind, I just looked at the first one that you wrote and said, yep.
I'm so sorry.
That's all right. That's all right. Don't be sorry. It was never in the arena before, and we've had stranger things happen. Sometimes apps win because of this. So you never know.
You never know.
All right. Finally, Ron, you have an app that I was afraid of at first.
It's okay. This is a neat little app that I found. And normally I don't like things that do overlays over screens, you know, and that sort of thing. But this actually works in a way that's kind of smart. It's called Droop Contacts Your Way. And it's basically on the idea that you have a series of contacts that you probably contact a lot. For me personally, I flag as favorites. And you do the same things with them over and over again. Make calls, text message, use Facebook Messenger or whatever. So why should you have to open up the app and then choose who you want to talk to and go through all those various steps? This makes it a lot easier. As you just see here, as Jason
would be no numbers.
Mine had no numbers.
That's all right. Weird. Whatever. I don't know what those numbers are. I think they're customer service lines.
Anyway, so
Brian's angry at me right now.
What this does is what it allows you to do is it on your home screen, it gives you four little dots on the side that you can tap, and it will then put an overlay on your screen. And what it does on one side is the avatars or icons of the people that you talk to. And then on the right side are the applications you use. And let's say you want to talk to somebody, you just grab their face and drag it over to the phone, and it launches the phone app to call that person. And you could choose what number if you need to or whatnot, or you could switch to a random video. Oh, okay. It's the app video.
this one's all right to show. Yeah. Yeah. Brian's just protecting me. I appreciate it.
I see phone numbers and I freak out Ron's incident with my number.
Whose phone number? Sorry. Should I call it?
You could. It's just a gym.
So, Jason, if you let go of that and pick another face, or you know, just close that somehow.
I'm afraid to pick a face, to be honest.
Pick a face and just drag it to
text. Oh, Droop support. I'll do that.
There you go. So drag it to text message. So there you go. See? And so basically it's a one-to-one drag between your contact and the application you want to use. And you can customize the faces that show up there on your contacts, and you can customize the apps that you use. If you use WhatsApp versus Facebook Messenger versus Gmail versus another mail app or whatnot. And it's all fully customizable. You can change the color of the overlay, the background. You've got kind of like a dark blue. They've got a green or red or whatnot. It's a pretty neat way to make it that much faster to connect with your contacts. So nice. There you go. So Droop, it's free in the Google Play Store, and it's kind of changed the way I've interacted with the people I talk to. So
cool, and
much got much faster.
Some of the extra settings here, so you can theme it, like you were saying. Excellent.
You can change where the little swiper displays. You can change what side of the phone it appears on, and so yeah. So.
Nice. Awesome. Yes, I've heard a lot about this app these past few days. So,
yeah.
Good pick there. Okay, so now we're getting to the nitty-gritty here. We've got Pinsy, Droop, Nuzzle, and Broad City Keyboard. I'm killing time because I'm shortening the URL.
I don't know about you guys, but I think Broad City Keyboard is going to run away with it.
I think it might. I think it's very possible.
Personally.
AAApoll.com/207 is the place to go. AAApoll.com/207. Let your voice be heard. Vote for your favorite app. This has been a pretty good arena, I have to say. Good stuff all around. And yeah, we'll check in next week and see where it lands. Apparently, Nuzzle's running.
Why does Nuzzle have 100% already?
I think probably just one vote at that point because they just published it. So it'll change.
It's rigged.
Don't worry. It'll change. That was a lot of fun, you guys. And this episode has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate both of you stopping by tonight. Thank you so much. Or tomorrow morning. Is it tomorrow morning, Chris?
It's about lunchtime on the
Oh, okay.
April 1st.
Ooh, so you're getting hungry at this point. Yeah, what are you having for lunch?
I've got to go out to the shops today, so I might get a Japanese curry, I think.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
Does sound good. Because it's dinner time. That works for dinner, too.
I know, it's dinner time. I'm like,
so I could do that. It's dinner time tomorrow, though, so I don't know how hungry I am quite yet for dinner tomorrow. But anyways, Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show. Always love having you on. Love to have you back, as always. Tell us a little bit about what you've been working on. I know you've been hard at work on updates to Action Launcher, you said the past 6 months now?
It's probably a bit longer than that now. Action Launcher has been out for 3.5 months, and it was, you know, more than that in development. Yeah. So it's been a slog, but it's gone really well. The reception's been great. A little bit of controversy, I guess you can say, at the start, because I had to charge for the upgrade. But that's sort of all tapered off now, and people seem to be really enjoying the app, and I'm just sort of hard at work trying to get an update out. As I'm trying to, you know, every month or so. Sometimes 4 weeks can be a little tight because you can spend couple of weeks writing something and then a week maybe fixing bugs, and maybe you've got some other things to squeeze in, so it can push along at times, but I'm just head down on the next update at the moment, and trying to make Action Launcher as good as it can be.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of really positive reviews of the upgrades that you've been doing and everything. And as far as paying for the upgrade, I mean, it's not like you don't bring, like, I suppose it's one thing if it's a point upgrade and there's no visible change to the app, but you bring a lot of impact with your upgrades, and especially with Action Launcher. So, people got to get paid
a lot, and I think the biggest thing for me was the fact that if you bought it previously, the app you bought still works. Mm-hmm. I didn't take anything away from you.
Yep.
I just said there's this new version, and you know, if you want it, then you have to pay for that. It's mm-hmm. not not at all dissimilar to the fact that, you know, I'm going to pay for Avengers 2 later in the month and I don't expect a free ticket because I saw Avengers 1. So I can definitely understand why people would be upset about it, but it's just a reality. And overall, the response has been terrific. So yeah. I don't regret it at all. So it's been good.
Awesome. Well, your effort is worth it. So thanks for creating great apps, and thank you so much for coming on our show. Really appreciate it. We'd love to have you back.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Right on. You can find all of Chris's apps and stuff at bit.ly/ChrisLaceyApps. You can find, well, you're on Twitter and Google Plus and all over the map, so just search for your name, I imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, I displaced the murderer who shared my name from the top of Google, so that was an achievement last year.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Bravo.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yes. Wait, is that a joke or for real?
No. It's an actual joke.
Wow.
Sorry, that's an actual true story. There was someone who, involved in a murder case, but I bummed them off now, off the front page.
Wow. Even more notable.
That's right.
I don't know. I don't know where we spend that. Okay. Anyways, I'm happy about that, and thank you. It suddenly got very awkward. I don't know what to say to the person that says that. Florence, help me. Help me by telling me what you're up to right now.
I'm still working on this GS6 review, guys. I've been with it for so many days, and I'm just going to keep writing about it, so keep checking back. Next week, we're going to do a showdown between the 1M9 and the GS6, so stay tuned for that, too, if you want to figure out which phone to get, which flagship to get. You know, those are the two big ones this year. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming back on. Oh, that flow on Twitter. O-H.
That's right. Oh, that flow. F-L-O.
All right. And greenbot.com for all of your writing. Thank you again.
NPCworld.com.
I always forget that. I got to put that in there.
It's okay.
All right. Cool. Ron, what about you? What you got?
You can find me at about.me/RonXO, where you can find links to all my social stuff, Google+, Instagram, Twitter, all the fun stuff. And by day, I'm at imagecomics.com and selling some of the best comic books in the world. And we were just in Seattle last weekend. I saw some loyal All About Android audience members in Seattle, which is awesome. This weekend, we're going to be in Anaheim at WonderCon. So if you're at WonderCon, come by the Image booth, come find me, say hi, show me your phone. It's always great to see you out in the real world. So, and thanks to everybody who does say hello. It's always great to see you out there. So,
Julio, thank you, Ron. Get better.
Yes,
kick whatever this is.
Hopefully.
Okay.
Punch in the face.
Yeah.
I got sick and then I got better, but I didn't get to 100%. I like stopped at like 65%. Oh. And now I'm just like hovering.
You let down your guard. You let down your guard in the little antibodies or whatever, the bad guys.
Yep. They win. Stupid bad guys. Brian, what about you?
Well, you can find me on BYB occasionally doing some reviews, but also if you stick around and you're watching live tonight, me and Padre are pre-recording a little know-how that we typically do on Thursdays at 11 o'clock. So tune in. I have a do-it-yourself watch, and I think Padre's been working on his project. I think he broke it, so watch live.
A do-it-yourself watch? Is it?
It's like a wearable, yeah.
Oh,
okay. You solder it all together and tells you the time. It was a fun project.
Is it running Android Wear?
It isn't. Oh. It's running off a little Arduino board.
Next wearable that you create from scratch.
Yeah. An Android Wear watch might be a little bit more difficult.
Maybe a little bit. Yeah. All right. Awesome. Well, thank you for all that you do every week that you're actually here.
Sorry. Oh, Padre was showing it off.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
That's cool.
Oh, neat.
Press the button on the side.
I think the Woz wears a watch like that, actually.
Yeah, so this week I'll show you how to put it together. Maybe another show, if I have time, I'll show you how to program some stuff, some custom stuff.
You wear that to the rave. You're like,
yeah. If I had time to go to one. Yeah. Basically, my job is a rave right here. Look at all these.
It's true. Lights. It's true. It really is. We need to get you a glow stick, man. You can find me at about.me/JasonHowell. Follow my music when I make it at yellowgoldmusic.com, although there's music there that you can follow anyways, even though I haven't made new stuff. And then don't forget, we are doing kind of a survey of our audience. Go to twit.tv/survey. Take about 5 minutes if you like, if you want to kind of tell us who you, well, we don't find out who you are exactly, but we find out what you like, and that helps inform us as far as how we're doing and the shows that we're giving you and if you like what you're seeing and all that kind of stuff. So go to twit.tv/survey and let us know. It's an audience survey, and yeah, you can answer as much as you want or as little as you want. It's all helpful. All right, that is it for this week. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. You can always send us an email at AAA@twit.tv. We're on Twitter at Android Show. We're on Google Plus. There's an amazing community, and I'm always loving just all the conversation that happens in the community on Google Plus. Search for All About Android. You'll find it. You can find our subreddit, twitaaa.reddit.com. We have our show notes and past episodes all found at twit.tv/AAA. That's our home on the web. You can also find our episodes at YouTube and iTunes. And you can catch us live every Tuesday, starting 5 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android.